All right, guys, welcome back to the Onsite Insight podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we have Grant from Fortress Hire. This is going to be a good one, guys, so listen in. Grant was an apprentice carpenter and is running a thriving hiring business. So, Grant, thank you for coming in. I appreciate you driving here, man, and we were talking a little bit off camera about some other bits and pieces, but start off with, man, if you want to just give the listeners, our listeners, a little bit of a recap about yourself, who you are, what you do, and we'll start going into some of these questions that we've got here.
So I run Fortress Hire, and we hire at portable toilets, Tembe fencing, Tembe pool fencing, skip bins, power poles, acro props, trestles and planks. And start off as a chippy, you know, did my time, come out my apprenticeship when I was 20. Contracted up until last year, but I'm side by side.
Yeah.
And
so it was only relatively recently.
No, I gave it up.
Yeah.
I was running it for too long.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm.
By the end of it.
Mm.
But yeah. Just wasn't. Yeah.
Mm.
My focus shifted straight onto the hire company. Then,
yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me, how did you, we'll go back to obviously your apprenticeship and the journey and all that, because you got some mad stories from that. But what was your sort of, you know, because you could have chosen 1,000 other businesses. What was the passion? What was the main shifting point to the hire? Did you have someone else in the industry? What was the?
No, we hired Afro Props for Multi Hire.
Yep.
On a job we were doing.
Yep.
And they were going to be there for like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, $10 each,
mm.
10 of them, $100 a week, 6 weeks, $600.
Yep.
And, you know, you frame the house, you wait until the brickies come to brick it.
Yeah.
And then you take the Afro Props down. And I was like, just money while, you know, we're shooting off to another job doing that.
What were you doing? Did you just like sit there and like run the number in your head and you were like?
I was just like, I was like, I could put them in my builder's trailer.
Yeah.
And then put them up while we're doing the frame, set them hiring them from Multi Hire.
Yeah.
And just went from there. Yeah. And now I've got some fencing.
Yeah.
Then got some toilets and just.
Yeah.
Sumped my life savings into it and went going.
Yeah.
Going for it. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Nah. Sweet. So, all right. So, going back to your apprenticeship.
Yeah.
What age did you start your apprenticeship?
So, I started apprenticeship stool based.
Yeah.
And then that ended. I was working at Hungry Jack's at the same time, washing cars on the weekend
mm-hmm.
and afternoons. And, ref some beach volleyball for cash on Wednesday and Thursday nights.
Yeah.
Didn't even know how to play volleyball, you know, just,
Was it dudes or chicks, please?
Oh, mixture.
Yeah, he's there for the dudes.
Yeah. And so doing all that, and the apprenticeship was Monday and Tuesday, still Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
And then that builder, for a stool-based apprenticeship, they reckon that they only needed to pay, it was $8.50 for an hour. And they reckon they only had to pay you for 3 hours out of 24 hours you worked. It was like the store, it was this form from the Queensland government. I don't know, their town structure looked into it.
Yeah.
And it was like $30 for what? It was
free labor, mate.
It was free labor.
Yeah.
And
that's a little trick for you guys that are listening. If you guys don't know, let me give you some advice. The government and everyone like that, they brought in this rule about school-based apprenticeships, right? Because I've researched it, we've been offered it, I've looked into it, et cetera, right? For the most part, a lot of it is literally just cheap labor.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's why guys do it. You know, I could count on one hand, and mind you, right, I know a lot of guys in the trade, I know a lot of guys that are going through school-based business owners, et cetera, et cetera. I can count on one hand the amount of guys that have started a school-based apprenticeship and ended up finishing with the same guy that they started that school-based apprenticeship with.
I didn't finish it with him.
Yeah, exactly. Because they get him in because they don't want to commit to the actual apprenticeship. They don't want to sign up someone because they're like, oh my God, I'm going to sign up.
I was mowing his lawn.
Yeah.
Right.
He was there washing his dog, cooking dinners. Yeah, mate, it's your apprenticeship in
slave
the kitchen.
Labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pondering, just doing anything you wanted.
Anything.
You know, and then, So that didn't work out. And
so did that end on good terms or bad terms, or how did that end up eventuating?
Ending.
Yeah.
So I was working like 4 jobs at the same time, trying to make money because I wasn't making money there.
Yeah.
Going to school. And I'd text him on Sunday night and he goes, if you'll text me on Sunday night, when I go for Monday, he goes, that's too late. And then it just ended. I said, all right. And I just didn't reply to him.
Yeah.
And he went broke.
Yeah.
And so
it had nothing to do with you.
No.
Yeah.
And worked my ass off there.
Yeah.
Then went back into school, continued that until finished year 12. And then my brother was finishing his apprenticeship with the builder he did his apprenticeship with. And they were looking for a new apprentice.
Mm.
So I signed up with them. At that point, it was very hard to get an apprenticeship. Like, yeah. It was
what
like
year was that? Because there were
2013.
There was a fucking struggle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Apprenticeships now, I feel like we're getting back to those days now. I'm finding where like 12 months ago, 2 years ago, it was easy. Fuck, anyone could get a fucking apprenticeship, dude. There was that many jobs around. Fuck, whatever you want. Like, but now it's becoming.
I've noticed. I'll put an advert out.
Yep.
Yeah, no applicants. Nothing. Lately, I put one out and you're getting like 30, 40 applicants.
Yeah, the tide had changed.
Yeah.
When this episode eventually gets out, it'll probably be even worse.
Yeah. I'm sort of looking forward to that in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like, it's an employee market. It's constantly shifting, you know what I mean?
And that's been my problem lately.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, majorly. So, but yeah, finished my apprenticeship, finished school, started that apprenticeship, and they subbed me out to the chippies.
Yeah.
So they just paid, the chippies just paid the builder.
Yep.
They charge like all trades, but to the chippies that were working for them.
Yeah.
Did that and they'd finish at 3 o'clock. Then I'd go out to wherever job that they wanted. They wanted plasterboard ripped off a wall, locks fitted off, or clean up job sites, swept it out, or any extra frame. And so I'd always have to call them after I finished with that.
Yeah.
And then he ran you like a contractor.
And then
I got to my second year and he goes, you can do a fits out Redback Plains by yourself. Right. Because I had all the tools set up and all that.
Fucking hell, where were you? Hey, I need like 20 of this. Yeah, legit.
It was different times, mate. And then I was looking up to my brother because he used to work 6-7 days a week and work his ass off. So... And so then went out to Redback Plains, got set up, started, straightening all the windows, marking all the twerts. And then he comes out to site. I've never hung a door before.
Yeah.
And he shows me how to hang a door.
Yeah.
Shows me how to cut it all. Shows me how to put it all up.
Yeah.
And he goes, see you later.
Yeah. Good luck.
All right. Yeah. So I did the fits out. And it took me 2 days. It was a 180 swerve, fits out. Just
a banger,
And then he wanted me to
still fucking 2 days for yourself. Fuck, I know exactly how much.
It's money for him. You know what I mean?
Exactly how much that he would have been making.
And then he wanted me to, it's just your front bedroom on that house on little, Redback Plains low set. It's just like your Newport clad on the front.
Yeah.
And then your Safete, And so I did the Safete and clad by myself.
Yeah.
And so I only had two planks.
Doing a 2-4 fucking sheet.
Oh, the struggle,
trying to get
mate.
In the fucking...
and then bend it in the middle and can't get it in and then scrape it on the brickwork because you cut it too tight. Like,
Fuck. And they only give you just enough material too. You snap a sheet, fuck.
And then did that. And only had two planks set up.
Yeah.
So you frame it, sheet it, mold it, move everything and then keep going and... So did that. Once he found that out, I did that. He was basically running me like a contractor from now on. So I was doing, fits out, Safete clad, and then there was another apprentice with that building company.
Yeah.
And then
he got slapped with you.
So he put us together.
Yeah.
And he wanted us to do a low set frame then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was coming up to my third year.
Fuck, is this guy still in business, dude? Where the fuck?
No, he's not.
Oh, I was going to say.
Nah, but then, so ran that and did the frames and started doing frames and then started doing the Safete clads and fit sales on them frames. So they would have been, I reckon they would have been doing all right out of it.
Yeah.
But he was running us like contractors.
Yeah.
And then.
I know a lot of guys that operate like that. Yeah. Not that they're my mates. Like, I don't actually know them, but I know companies that are structured exactly like that. So they get like an apprentice like yourself, where you get your gear, you get your trestles and that. They'll set you up. They'll take you underneath their wing for like the first maybe like 3-4 months. They'll show you a little bit, fix it out, so that sort of shit. And then, same thing. Like,
really?
I literally went out to, this is like 2 years ago, when I was contracting, still contracting, let me rephrase that, when I was on the tools, I seen a crew and I was like, oh yeah, these guys are all right. I went up to the lead, supposed to be the lead guy, yeah. And I was just chatting to him. He's like, oh no, I'm a third year. I was like, who's all these? Oh, they're all apprentices too. So he was running like the whole shebang off a third year. And I was like, oh no way. Got his contact details. Yeah, a few years
come
passed.
Work for me.
He did. Yeah, he did. So I fucking got him. And it was one of those things. But yeah, the boss used to just fly in and out, never really seen him.
Well, this was a builder that was doing, at a peak 150 homes a year. Yeah. So he was pumping out low sets.
Yeah.
And but that was good to be thrown in deep end like that.
Mm.
That was great. That was the best thing for me. But I didn't learn. You learn more coming out in your apprenticeship anyway.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
So then he signed me off and he said to me, you can come work for me an hourly rate or you can sub it to me if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the full frame price, fits outs, feet and clad price for it.
So he'll just give you the purchase order.
Yeah, and purchase order.
Yeah. Which way did you go?
Contracting. Yeah. And but I went halves with that apprentice.
Okay, yeah.
We already knew. We already had our systems. It was like a safeguard, if you think about it.
So you went, oh my God, bro, the fucking purchase order is $6,000. We're going to make a killing.
But we'd invoice 50% of the purchase order. So say the frame was $5,000, invoice 2.5 each.
Yeah.
But he got signed off earlier than I did because he was behind me.
Yeah.
But the builder signed us both off at the same time.
Yeah.
So I got signed off in my third year. Yeah, I learned way more coming out of my apprenticeship.
Mm.
Subbed, then I split up with him.
Yeah.
Hired Saban that he was in his third year from I needed help on a frame.
So how did that relationship go? The joint venture, if you want to go through and call it what it is.
I don't like partnerships.
Yeah. So did it end on bad terms?
No, not at all. Parted ways. He went to Subby for the same builder, but he started doing it for himself.
Okay, yeah.
But then he didn't last long. He went and worked for someone on an hourly rate.
Yeah, there's no fucking money in doing
that. Yeah. So then hired Saban, did it for, 3 years full time. I was, all I did was work. And now I was so stressed out all the time. Now, being in the position I am now, I look back and that, fuck, that was a breeze.
Busting your ass.
But it was a breeze. What was I stressing about? Mm. I was busting my ass. It was hard work, but now we're at the stresses we've got. Yeah. Every time you step up, you look back on that time.
It's just different levels of stress, I think. But I think also as you get, as you go on the journey, if you want to call it that, I feel like, the stress gets magnified. You're under more stress.
Yeah.
But you also learn ways to deal with it more.
You're growing as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like as I was talking off camera with you this morning, if I had that same conversation 3 years, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I'd be fucking sitting in the corner. Oh my God, my life's going to end. Ended. Yeah. You know what I mean? Brush it off. Yeah. Move on. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. It's all good.
You've done what you can. You can't do anything about it.
That's it. Yeah. The sun's still going to come up tomorrow. Yeah. But I feel like it's easier said than done. I feel like everyone loves to pump it across socials and that. Yeah. And you hear it all. You just go. You don't really know until you get those stripes and you've actually done it and you go through it. And that's when you actually get the mentality to keep it going.
Recently, I've been through, you always think you're going through your hardest time and then you look back on it, you're like, was it your hardest time? Yeah. But I don't know. But did that 3 years, hired Saban.
Yeah.
And he worked with me, hired a few apprentices.
Yeah.
And just subbed.
Were you still just with the same guy?
Same guy, builder? Same builder.
So you didn't branch out?
No, I did a couple of other builders, but he just kept coming with the work. So it was like, why not?
Yeah.
But then...
What was the penny drop moment then? Because obviously you would have been doing enough, whether it was one frame a day or whatever the fucking statistics are that everyone talks about, right? At what point were you because I got a lot of guys, if we're talking contextual now, I got a lot of young guys that are either sitting in that boat where they're the apprentice, right?
Yeah.
And they're looking at doing, we're doing one frame a day, we're doing this, we're doing that. Right? Yeah. 'Cause that's a vast majority. That's what a lot of guys don't understand.
Yeah.
You drive 45 minutes out of Brizzy, that is the vast majority of the construction community. Yeah. The guys that are out there pumping their up, that's it. That's the guys. So all these young guys that are sitting there at Smoko and they're wondering it's not what it's made out to be.
No.
I tell them, yes, there's money to be made. but there's easier ways to make the money. Like, are you really, as you would have just said, are you really going to want to work 6-7 days for the rest of your fucking life doing that sort of shit?
Like, and you think you're killing it.
Oh,
you think you're killing it.
Yeah. Like, you're the man, you fucking, yeah, it's sick.
I've got young guys that come to me and they've just come out on their own.
Yeah.
And they said to me, oh, the purchase order's worth this much. And you're like, right, so your GST, your tax, you know, all your materials, your apprentices, do you put super and tax away for your employees? Do you put your annual leave away for your employees? No, they don't do any of that. So if you really take everything out, you know, it's not, yeah.
I always say to them, like, and this is not me being a grouch on builders and that, like, I know for a fact now when I get a purchase order with certain rates on it, I know I look at it and I'm like, we're not making any money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do I still take them? Yeah. To pick up pipeline, like to fill that gap. But I know for a fact that I'm not making any money.
Yeah.
And if anyone says so, I'll tell them. I'll say, listen, there's nothing in it. We're doing
it. Sounds like a lot.
Yeah. Oh, we get massive purchase orders. Yeah. Like, because we do multi-res stuff now. Yeah. Like, we get huge purchase orders, right? The dollar fee. You see the dollar fee, you go, oh my God.
Yeah.
You're not making anything. Mm. Nothing. And I feel like, it's not that I'm sitting here preaching, a lot of these guys, what was it recently? We recently did a job and there was another crew there and this one of these other guys of this other crew came up to me and he was like, oh, those boys must be making a killing. They're doing one a day. And I'm like, mate, I'll tell you right now, they're not. They're not making a killing. Oh, they got to be. You run the numbers, they're earning 24 grand a week, blah, 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 blah. I was like, yeah, you forget, mate. They got 8 guys,
with
a truck, all mates here doing fucking 12, 14 hour days. Mm. 6 days a week, fucking, you run that all back, like, you know, fucking defects. That's what everyone doesn't forget as well. There's only just enough in it. And the builders aren't stupid. Everyone thinks that these purchase orders are just miraculously made. They're not, right? The money that's generated on them has been done from people higher up above. They've got floors of estimators and stuff, and they know that a carpenter gets this amount of money. It's going to take them about this amount of time, and we're going to leave them just with enough to cover costs for them. There's no cream. There's no
extra and the frame price is frame price, and you're probably not getting paid for the frame title.
Oh, yeah. And then they got to go callbacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, you got to come back here, mate. You know, then they got to hold retention.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to see this. Like, these are all the things.
Then they'll drag you out in payment terms and stretch you out. So I was getting. Yeah. So the carpentry kept that going. I saved up a lot of money. But I saved up a lot of money before my apprenticeship ended. I've always been a saver.
Mm.
And so that's what I dumped into, you know, the hire company. Yeah. But so I kept that going.
So you were still doing subbing, doing the contracting stuff?
Yeah. And then Saban came out of his apprenticeships. I signed him off.
Yeah.
And
he was sort of running.
He sort of ran it. You
no
know,
joint, no, no profit no, sharing. No, and then no. you just had him on it.
So he had a U and then, you know, on a wage.
Yeah,
and he was great. He, you know, and that, well, at the start, I bought the equipment truck for the hire company and that was towing the builder's trailer. Mm. So I sold my ute to get that, tow that around. I was doing that and I was like, I thought I could do it.
Yeah.
And then I was, this isn't working. So then I bought another ute to tow the trailer and then he had the truck and then he was delivering after work and stuff like that. And then, you know, then when I came off the tools, not the tools, it was like a gradual thing. Like, it was like full gradual. Like, I was
everyone loves to say, oh, when did it happen? What was the thing? You don't know, dude. Nah, like, it just, you look back and it like just happened.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Well, I remember calling builders. Like, it was hard then, 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
It's hard to get, you know, for the hire companies, it was so hard to get work.
This was right back when all job sites were closing.
Yeah.
People were pulling hires off jobs. It was if there were site offices there, they were pulling them off the site because of COVID and all the bullshit.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so I ran them side by side and then the builder was sort of drip feeding you. And then, you know, say you do 10 grand 1 week.
Mm.
But then, you know, 4 weeks later, they pay you 2.5 grand of it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So then it'd only be enough to cover the boy's wages. So then you weren't putting away, you know, PAYG, stuff like that. So then you rack up ATO bill, you know, and it's just, it is a snowball effect. And this is what people don't understand.
Yeah.
And
there's so many levels to it. And there's like layers and layers and layers. Like, I could sit here and talk for fucking 5 hours about like all the intricate pieces. Like, we personally, like me now, like, you know, I've preached this on here before, like, we're in a sticky spot.
Yeah.
Everyone sees for what it is and they're like, oh, you're making a bank.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. If anything, it's, you know, we're making like, you know, nothing. It's we've got growth, but it's like growing where it's, you know, not that we're growing the opposite direction, but it's like the growth that needs to happen is costing us the money that we're making.
So, yeah, so like you'll, no, you'll hit a sweet spot,
yeah,
and then you need to grow a little bit more. So then you grow a little bit more, that'll cost you money to grow, and then you'll get to the next spot.
And everyone's like, why don't you stay in the sweet spot? And this is one of those things. I think it comes down to the person.
Depends where you're striving for.
Yeah, where they want to be. Yeah. Like for me, I'm not comfortable. So, you know, I don't really find myself being comfortable in the next 5 years. So,
do you find yourself, you like being in sort of a chaos environment and keep leveling up?
Yeah, to a degree. I think what really motivates me now, it's like I just have a really big motivation to create a company where guys want to come and work for.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that that is needed in the Brisbane community, in the construction community. Like, we get guys now, like I literally had a guy ring me this afternoon just like, hey man, I've been seeing this, that, and the other, and they want to come work for us. Like, that doesn't come without its struggles as well. But it's catch 22. I feel like the better staff that I get, the better jobs we get.
So you want to attract?
Yeah, I want to attract, and that like the jobs and the style of work, and you know, everyone loves to talk about, oh, you know, you stand back and you look at it and you go, oh, this is a mad achievement. My achievement is building the company into a place where people want to come and work for. Yeah. We pay our bills, and we're known for being reliable. And you know, we're not the cheapest.
Yeah.
They want to get the job done. Give us a call. We'll price it and we'll do the job. And
but how long does that take you to know your value?
Ages.
You know what I mean? You know your value now.
And that goes up and down as well.
Yeah.
It goes up and down. Like everyone, like you might think that you're worth $1 million, but whether or not the market's going to pay that is another question. So for us, like for me, that's a lesson that I've learned as well, is like there is a time and a place for standing your feet and knowing your value. And I feel like the best of the best know when that time is.
Yeah.
If you do it all the time and you think you're going to be the Louis Vuitton of fucking, you know, the construction community, you'll go broke.
Yeah.
Right? So, for me, that's a lesson that I've had to learn as well. Is like
learn to pivot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you can't always be the most expensive and you can't always be the cheapest. No. So, you have to find that happy medium, and that's sort of the game that we...
And you gauge where you're at that point in time. Like you said, your growth phase at the moment. So, if you're growing at the moment, you're hiring more guys on, you might take jobs that you normally wouldn't take.
Mm.
And then that puts you to a different... You know.
And I think the other realization as well, you know, me and Grant, we're talking about like business stuff now, but the other realization that I had as well is whether or not, you know, everyone likes to talk about niching down or, you know, growing with ways or, you know, increasing your prices. You know, for me anyway, and how we're sort of structured is I came to the realization that there was a glass ceiling that we were going to hit.
Yeah.
And I feel like we haven't hit it yet, but we're very much there to hit it. So, the only option-
With pricing?
Yeah, with pricing and what we do, right? Because it doesn't matter about your brand, how good you are on socials, how good you look, you guys. At the end of the day, there is a market that we all have to adhere to, right? So, for me and what we did is I know that we're getting to that glass ceiling part now. So, the only option that I've got is to go with ways.
Yeah.
That just means servicing more people.
Yeah.
And with that, obviously need more guys, because more staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and that's different for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, the model that I run is completely different the way that, you know, a niche builder that does fucking Hampton style homes in Brizzy, he can really double down and niche fucking right down, because a fucking job runs for 2 years or whatever. You know, same for yourself, right? If you've got a toilet and it's, you know, I don't know the exact figures, I'm talking on your behalf, but let's just say the toilet's 50 bucks a day or whatever. Yeah. Doesn't matter how good your pricing is, whatever. Yeah. There's no way that anyone's going to fucking pay $5,000 a day for that thing.
No. So, I had this conversation with a builder the other day. I said, why do you hire for me?
Yeah.
And he goes, because it's you.
Yeah.
Because I know you.
Yeah.
You know, and you developed that relationship.
Yeah.
And he goes, you service your toilets good.
Mm.
He said, but there's toilets everywhere.
Mm.
So, like, you know, is that relationship.
Relationship and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So, you know, and that's another massive thing as well, was building the relationship. Yeah. But, you know, it was just more in regards to, like, the pricing and stuff like that. That's something that we've learned, that we're still learning.
And then that's when you'll get your efficiencies better. That's how you become more profitable.
Exactly.
You know, if you hit that ceiling with your price, and so then you
But I like business. I like doing it. So that's my motivating factor. Like, I'm pretty
You love your phone going at 10 o'clock.
Funny enough, I'm actually good with it. Yeah, my phone, you know, kudos to my guys and my admin and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Where, yeah, my phone, bro, Nick knows. My best time to get me is at like early in the morning. If you're trying to get me at like any time after 5, good luck. Unless really? It's an emergency, yeah.
Is that
yeah.
because you've started to value your time more?
Kids.
Yeah.
Kids have that slapped me in the face. Yeah. And that wasn't a choice. That was a necessity.
You can't be available to everybody every time.
And like, you know, this doesn't come overnight.
Mm.
I had to put processes in place with the guys that I've got and, you know, a line of communication and you know, it was also, that was half the reason why I like B2B as well, is because if you don't answer your phone on a Saturday and Sunday, it's normal.
Yeah.
Where if you're dealing with Mr. and Mrs. Jones and they ring you on a Saturday afternoon and say, hey, my roof's leaking, you better answer that fucking phone call. So for me, that's what I didn't like.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no amount of money or no amount of houses that made that interesting to me. And people can argue that, oh yeah, but you pick your right clients and you get this, that, and the other, you know? But hey, when a roof's leaking, they're going to call you. It doesn't matter if they think you're the fucking best and you're the best builder in town. They're ringing you.
And
you
that's why I don't want to go into septic tanks and stuff, like in that big liquid waste management, because everyone's going to ring you 24/7. Like the liquid waste companies, I want to dive into it.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing. Like I don't like to run my guys Saturday, Sundays. They work massive hours through the week.
Yeah.
And I'll work Saturday, Sunday. But that's not an end goal to work Saturday, Sunday.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Like, I've always been a strong believer in that, you know, I want to pull myself away from the equation, not inject myself
anymore. Yeah.
You know? And that's not me trying to be stubborn or anything like that. If the business can't survive without me, then it's not a business.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Well, right now, I'm like a slut to the business. Yeah. So, but I wasn't like 4 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I am.
That's what I mean. And like everyone goes through phases as well. Like I lost an admin. Yeah. I lost some staff. So that mean that I had to fucking, you know, I had to be in there hard, you know what I mean? Like back to how I was before, like running payroll. I lost an admin. I was doing payroll. I was like, I don't even know. I forgot how to even do it. So I had to like teach myself to do it. Now I'm good. I'm getting back into the rhythm of how I was before. But like you go through phases of it. And
so what just happened recently?
All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode.
I never booked a holiday in the year, but my missus wanted to book a holiday for her sister's 21st to Bali.
Yeah.
So it was 4 working days. We booked it like 10 months ago.
Yeah.
And we booked it for September.
Yeah.
And 4 working days off. And I was like, if I can't have 4 working days off, what am I doing with my life?
I'm going to tell you a funny story after this.
So then booked it, sent an email out to my admin and my accounts officer.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm away for these, you know. And then my admin would have known at the time. But 3 weeks later, she said, oh, I'm pregnant and I'm due in September. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so we trained someone up for 3 months before I went away. I wanted to get someone trained in the admin. And do you know when, like, I know how to take bookings, everything like that. Like, I'll deal with customers, everything. Yeah, I don't know the computer system that we got, like, to a T. Like, so I'm never, like, my admin,
it just wasn't on your radar.
No. It's because you didn't want to know it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then she like found it hard to knock me down in the office for an hour a day. You know what I mean? So, anyway, trained someone up for 3 months. Like, you know what that would cost, you know? And then did that a week before I went away. Gone.
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, door. I was like, and then we'll frame my own house a week before I went away. So we had the frame to do.
Yeah.
So we're already, you know, sort of out of fortress doing that.
Yeah.
And so I was still going to be busy as it is. And then that happened. So I was taking bookings while I was on the frame with my laptop. Didn't know how to work the system.
Your missus is sending you things. Oh my God, I can't wait to do this, babe. It's going to be so fun. Yeah. And you're just thinking, fuck. Like your head's just, I'm not even thinking about the trip. Yeah. I'm just thinking about getting back. Yeah.
And I was like, what do I do? And then, till 10 o'clock at night, I was going back to the office.
Yeah.
Booking in jobs that I'd sent myself an email for and all that. And like, we get so many bookings per day. Like, it's, yeah. And she had a 3-year-old baby and she was helping me remotely on the phone to me, booking in jobs. Like, that loyalty you can't buy. And so anyway, went to Bali. As you know, Bali's behind time. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning here is like 4 o'clock there. So I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, taking bookings, entering in, everything like that over there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that happened. And that was like a whole new stress level. But I've learned the admin on it. Like, she made like a massive booklet that like step-by-step guide and all the different processes. And she's been helping out remotely, you know, just helping me. And but now I've just hired a new admin and she's killing it. Like, she's doing great. So You overcome it,
Right, I'll tell you a story. So it was funny. We only realized this last time we went away, but for some reason, I don't know what it is. It's nothing planned or anything like that. But for some reason, every year, me and my wife, we go around. We usually go away September, October-ish, right? Sometime around about then. Sometimes it can range between 2, 4, 6 weeks.
Yeah,
around about then. Every single year, usually around, apart from the years when we've had our like, you know, our kids. But so anyway, this year, just gone. I love to say to her, like, when it rains, it pours. When one thing, if it's running too smooth, it's usually there's something in the water. So yeah, admin was in place, everything was sweet, everything was running like a dream. It was perfect.
That's how you know when something's
it was going. Perfect. And yeah, man, exactly the same scenario. It was like a week out and yeah, she resigned, dropped the ball. So mind you, I had like all these jobs running in. I wasn't going away for 4 days though. I was going away for like 2 and a bit weeks. And yeah, it was absolutely hectic. But lucky enough, this is what I was touching on before about having stripes. I'd already been through that sort of scenario previously in the past. Not for that exact thing, but for some fucking reason, every time I decide to go away, something happens. Whether it's I have one of my lead guys on site leave, admin leave, a job go to the shit, a builder fucking tell me he's pushing timelines back and I got a shit show, right? So, example for the one that's just gone, it was we had a downturn on work just in between jobs. So it was a fucking absolute nightmare in regards to scheduling, admin left, et cetera, et cetera. So, but because I'd been through it before, I sort of already, you know, I was a little bit level-headed. Was I fucking stressed 100%? Yeah. And my wife knew it as well. But hey, it was just one of those things where I just, you know.
I'm happy it happened for that reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I literally, I just, you know, I put the job that up and same thing. We've got Bibles and systems and stuff like that in place already. And yeah, so I just re-put the ad back up. I said, all right, how, and you know, I spoke to one of the other guys and he goes, listen, the business is not going to close in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And just that little, it's like the most minuscule thing. Like if just someone saying that, it was like just it was an outside guy that said it to me. He's like, listen, the business ain't going to go nowhere in 2-3 weeks. You'll be sweet. Just run your payroll. You know how to do that. Don't worry about nothing else. Don't worry about paying nothing
else. It's like a little backup, isn't it?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So it was just that little comment and I was just like, 100%. The business ain't fucking going nowhere in 2 weeks. So did I have a shit show when I got back? 100%. But I dealt with that perfectly fine. I knuckled in for like 4 days. I fucking cleared it all out. But, you know, and then, yeah, so I was getting new applicants while I was away as well. And I just said to myself, I'll just bank them. And then I banked them all, come back and
went down the interview. That's exciting though, new applicants and stuff.
Like, yeah. So, but it was just because I'd already done the motion. And I feel like, if you're new to it and you're only just getting into it, it can be very, sleepless nights. And, you know, my biggest
stress.
Oh, yeah. I go through, I'm definitely not the best at the moment. I'm definitely not the best, but as we go through the ups and downs, I've just found myself like, I don't get excited when I land a massive thing.
Yeah.
And I don't get.
You keep it plateaued.
100%. Yeah. Because otherwise, and everyone's like, oh, but you should really celebrate.
Because you sort of wait, no.
Yeah. No, and I always say to them, it's the other way. Yeah. I said, it can happen. Yeah. Even though, they're like, oh, but then you got to stay level-headed when you go to shit. But then I always say to them, well, it's cash 22.
You got to stay level-headed when you go up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I just sort of stay mellow. Do I like have crack a smile and my stress level goes a little bit down? Yeah, it does. But like, I don't like go out and fucking buy a Rolex really. I just stay level with it the whole way through.
You're waiting for something to happen in a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But what a lot of people turn around to me and say, just go on it. Because you know, I work 7 days a week, and well, lately I have been like every single day, and my missus gets like no time with me, and they're like, just go if you miss, like, and so I went, then after I come back, like that happened, after I come back, I said to my missus, I said, yeah, sorry about, you know, working while I was away and everything. She's like, no, thank you. And I was like, why? And she's like, I told you I wanted to tan and read a book by the pool.
Yeah.
And she goes, off, yeah. If you weren't working, you would have been so annoying, you know, let's go do this, let's do, go do that, you know. So she's like, nah, I was happy. Like, it was sweet. So.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, my things have changed now with kids and that, because obviously I need to be a little bit more present and help out and that. And, you know, my wife's been with me all the way. Like, she's been with me when I was apprentice all the way through. Yeah. So she's seen it all. And, yeah, man, it's like she knows that as long if I'm not stressed at work, I'm at my best when I'm around her and the kids and that. But, like, this year especially, I've really doubled down on just, like, trying to make a clear line in the sand with it all.
Because that's not fair on her. Think about it. Like, if you're stressed at work and you're bringing that home, it's like me with Sinead. Like,
but then I always used to say to her, like, I don't ever want to, you know, I don't ever want her to always, like, resent the fact that I'm like, oh, you know, yeah, he's got to go and do this, he's got to go and do that. So, like, I just was, it was more for me. Like, I knew that she could have probably dealt with it, but I was just like, nah, I want to, little things, man. It all started just with little things. Like, in the mornings, you know, I put a system in place for all the guys to make sure that they give me, because I always say, I say to them, do not ring me in the morning, all right, at 6 o'clock or 6:30 when you get to site. I don't want to fucking hear about it. You should have it all planned in the end of day, the day before, with any questions or any concerns that you've got in the end of day, the report beforehand, right? So in the morning, send me through your plan of attack for the day, and then it should all be sweet. If my phone rings, it's usually legit. If my phone rings from anyone on site, they've either been in a car accident or they're sick.
Jeez,
or
don't help it.
Don't, nothing, right? So I always say, and these are all things that have been slow in effect, right? So it all starts with their end of day photos, and then if there are any concerns, they put it in the end of day. And then usually that night, if I read the end of day and there is any concerns, I usually iron them out before I go to bed.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, it's easy.
Yeah.
My phone doesn't fucking ring. I don't get nothing.
Right? Is that because you're working in the morning, like you want to be...
I want to be present with my kids in the morning, because I get up. They're there. Right? I want to be present with them.
Yeah.
But this hasn't just fucking eventuated. Yeah. I've had to grind that out and go through the motions. Is it perfect every single week? Fuck no. It's not, right? It can differ. And it was even harder when there was no admin. But over time. And it's open line of communication as well that I've just said to the guys. And they know, as they can see the growth and the style of work that we're getting and the more staff that we're getting, they can see that the proof's in the pudding. I'm not being a lazy fuck.
Mm.
I'm not just sitting at home playing Xbox. Mm. I'm still working.
Yeah.
But these are the things that I need in place to keep my fucking sanity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll get a rope and hang myself off the fucking balcony. Right? So, and they all know that as well.
But that's a lifestyle you want to create for your business. So that's so people ask you what drives you forward and everything like that. That's a little reward for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want in your own life.
Yeah. But so anyway, enough about me and what the fuck I do. All right, but let's keep it going. Are we still recording?
Yep.
Are you hot as?
I'm pretty hot, eh?
Turn that fan on, Nick.
All I keep seeing is a fucking knee tap going up and down. That's why I got my left foot on my right.
I'm fucking sweating bullets. It's all right. Fuck. Yeah, we got an aircon in here, but it's too fucking loud. Oh, there we go. We got some
6 o'clock in the morning, you're pumping weights.
Oh, you can crack. Do you want to crack that door a little bit? Is it going to let no one's out there? Yeah, there we go. We'll get the fucking AC from out there in here. All right, sweet. Well, Nick, you can cut all that gibberish out.
More work for him, eh?
Oh, yeah. He loves it. All right, sweet. Well, enough about me, but we'll keep fucking moving through these questions that I've got here, all right? Because I want to know more about, we've been talking a lot about business and ourselves, and it's been really good. It's been really good. But I want to talk more about Fortress Hire and the journey that you're currently on with that and how that is going and all that sort of stuff at the moment. Are you still running the carpentry at the moment?
Have
you
up last year?
Your what's his name?
Saban.
Yeah. So what happened with him?
He came across.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm moving him, molding him into the operations. manager role at Fortress, running all the trucks.
And how did that conversation go? Because he was obviously still a chippy, good at what he did and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, he loves chipping.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'll bring you, like, I pitched that vision to him that he could come across and do that role, and he was open to it.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's worked for me 8 years now.
Yeah.
So I don't want to build a business that, you know, a successful business that is just making me successful or whatever. I want to bring people with me and who have been there and,
yeah, 100%.
You know, like, I want people to grow together. Like, I don't want, I don't know. I just don't want that. So,
Because, you've got in that space anyway, like the space that you're obviously in.
Yeah.
Right, you've got some giants to go up against as well, you know. But I feel like for the most part, sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like for the most part, this is an outsider looking in. I feel like it's like an old sort of industry.
Old money.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a very old industry. Yeah. All the companies that when you drive around, all the companies that you see around and, just ring this guy. Right. It's such an old industry, like, that it's sort of untouched by a young competitor anyway.
It is. It's all old school money, and like it's like, so if we buy 3 toilets, right?
Yeah.
So I buy toilets. The truck goes to the supplier, picks up toilets, we sticker them because like we're always running out of toilets. Mm. Go straight out to site. I don't see them at the yard.
Yeah.
So it's like 98%, 99% high rate with the toilets. There's like 430 out there now. So so it's a big capital expense. So like, who can like fund? I use the carpentry money. That's why I was running it side by side. Mm. Just keep pumping into the business, buy more torts, buy more fencing, and then every cent that comes in, don't draw away. Just keep pumping more out, and it just keeps compounding.
Yeah.
But like, if you don't do that, well, your business is going to stay where it is because it's so much capital expense to do it. So you go buy 3 torts at $6,000.
Yeah.
So like, and you know, as you know, you're not going to get that money back straight away.
No.
So, so you just keep building on, keep going.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, so it was, you're saying old school. Yeah, there's not heaps of competitors in that market. That's what, like, so I was seeing the building industry.
Mm.
And I was like, do I want to be a builder? And look how many builders are out there. And I was like, then when I started doing the AfroProps fencing and everything, I was like, who's actually in this game? Mm. And there's not, like, you can name a few.
Yeah.
But, like, there's not, like, massive competition. So, there's you can get market share.
Mm.
So, some people have 3,000 torts out on hire, just one company.
Mm.
So, for you to grab 100 torts out of that market share isn't much out of the market. So, you just keep taking, and just keep growing.
Yeah, man. I feel like it's, you know, it's almost got me thinking. No, because it's like, I feel like it's not untapped, but it's like, as you said, it's relationships, it's all that sort of stuff. And you can, you know, I don't know what your plan is, but fuck yeah, you can
just keep growing.
Oh yeah, you can. So all right, so talk to me a little bit about, so you obviously got him, yourself, admin, support, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So how did you initially, other than, you know, how did you initially go about getting people
builders,
make bookings and stuff? Obviously, you had contacts and that.
Yeah.
But was that just all word of mouth to start with?
So the builder, I was contracting to.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're doing the acro props for him. Yeah. So, doing fencing for him.
Yeah.
Looked at torts, didn't want to do torts. Anything that was like, you looked at the day rate and you're like, there's fucking no money in it.
Yeah.
Volume game.
Yeah.
And
so you didn't want to do torts for him, or he didn't want to?
Didn't want to do torts at all. So I looked at the numbers and I was like,
you're like, I just didn't see how it was working.
Yeah.
Because you got to clean them and stuff. Or do you subbing that out?
Yeah. I started to subbing that out, but that's why a lot of people come undone with the service and everything like that. Like our service structure, like we don't ever get complaints about service. Like if we get a complaint, it's about some breaking on the tool or something like that. It's not service. Like we have GPS on each truck. We have 5 photos per service. So we take in the bowl, where's all sucked out. So, and it's time stamped.
Yeah.
Like, and the longitude, latitude is on there. Like, there's proof.
Yeah.
Like, for everything. And so where was I going with that? Oh, so I didn't want to do torts.
Yeah.
And then I revisited it. Then I was like, oh, I'll do it. So I went to lbarber.com.
Yeah.
And found a tort manufacturer. Then I got her to take me through her factory, video calling her.
Yeah.
And So then I dropped 40 grand on a
40-foot
container of unassembled toilets.
No way.
Yeah,
landed. How did that work? Did you have to fucking pay for that up front? Or was it like 50%?
And then 50% before it ships.
And what were you like?
And I was,
bro,
I was
what was scared. The fucking experience like scared. Doing that? Were you like, fuck, am I going to see this money?
I was scared, but I was ballsy back then. Like, yeah. I was like,
what I got to lose? Oh, nothing much.
Yeah. I was like, just go for it. So yeah. I went for it, landed it, and then
seeing the container, you're like, me and my missus unlocked
the container, opened it, and like, it was just like, it was packed, like,
full.
Yeah. So then we built all the toilets.
You and your missus.
Bummed them all up, me and missus and Saban.
Yeah.
And so I did that.
What, in your backyard? Where the fuck were you doing?
So I hired a yard in Redmond Bay.
Yeah.
It was just like patch of dirt. Yeah. Into the container. And yeah, just went from there. And I was like, yeah.
The gazebo. Yeah.
I was like, just, yeah. And so then got this big trailer and did deal with the builder.
Yeah.
And to swap all of his torts out from Viking Rentals.
Yeah.
So did that. Then there was another builder and I went and met with him and I said to him, like, what can I do to get your torts? And he's like, all comes down to price. Is that I had no service to show for it. I don't know. I had nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
You know, as you grow, you get a name, reputation. Like, exactly. I had nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll give you 2 weeks free hire, free delivery, free pickup on every tort, because he's already got paid for the delivery and pickup. On his tour. Like, he's already paid for delivery.
Yeah.
He's got to pay for the pickup. So if I give him free delivery, free pickup, he had 40 jobs. Mm. I had 40 toilets.
Mm.
And I went on a Saturday, swapped them all out. Me and my mate and Sinead went and swapped all the toilets out. And then I got a subby company to come service them. And then I got a pump truck too prematurely. Like, I got it like 50 toilets.
Mm.
And all comes down to cost per service. So if you got a toilet in Jim Boomer, then one in Park Ridge, then one in, you know, coming back in, like your drive between jobs is say 15, 20 minutes, that's not worth it. So the more toilets you have out there, so I was like losing money there.
So you're almost hunting suburbs. Like you want to get more numbers.
Well, the more numbers you get out, actually the more efficient it is and more profitable it is. Because your drive between jobs is not, like we've got heaps out at Ripley right now.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you go into one street, we've got like 10 torts. So that's like me.
That's good,
that's where you make your money.
Yeah.
So, so did toilets.
It's funny, it's just all numbers. Like, it's literally numbers.
It doesn't seem like a good dollar amount straight away when you look at the toilet price. And then
that's what I was saying to you, glass ceiling. Yeah. So you worked it out. Yeah. And you're there. And then you
worked back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I look back now, I'm like, should I have just done one thing? Like, because I was doing afro props, trestles, paints, and all that. But I wanted to give that one-stop shop to the builders.
Mm-hmm.
So then it came to a point where...
And how much, you know, how deep were you at the moment? Because obviously you said you dropped 40 grand on the toilets.
So it was 120 grand deep.
Yeah.
And then
no line of credit, nothing.
No,
so it's
no
off the back of you and your missus, or was it just you?
No,
or?
Just me. Yeah. Just me. And then I was using the carpentry money. Like, we'd go down to 1,300 hemp fence to build a fencing.
Yeah.
Every truckload was, like, or 50 panel was like 3,500.
Yeah.
And you're putting that fence straight out and saw it, and you're not seeing that money straight away.
Yeah.
And then at the start, you made the mistakes of, I was, so fencing gets invoiced up front for say 3 months, 6 months. Whereas I was working at 6 months higher.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it was $600.
Mm-hmm.
I'd then charge them $100 a month at the end of the month, and not due for, so that stunts your cash flow.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen anymore. No one does that, you know. And I don't know why I was doing that, but then you learn and develop.
Yeah.
And then, so it was the one stop, I was trying to be the one stop builder shop.
Yeah.
So then I said, I want to do stick bins.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
that's lucrative.
That's a whole different kettle of fish. And so I was like, so I found a company.
Yeah.
And which was United.
Yeah.
And so I said to them, you know, I can bring you this much work. I've already got this many builders.
Mm-hmm. So how many builders roughly would you have?
Right now?
Like back then,
back then, I probably had like 20 builders back then. Yeah, back then when I, you know, But they, I already went around to them and said, would you hire Stips off me and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so you're already doing the due diligence. Yeah. You're passing comment, you know what I mean? Oh, you already got me by this, you know what I mean? What can I do for you? So you already run it.
Yeah, so you and then they gave me a price, what they think do a 6 meter skip for or 4 meter or whatever.
Yep.
And then I'd get the market rate for that skip bin and then I'd go, all right, I can make money out of this.
Yep.
Not heaps of money, but just a little bit of money, you know, volume again.
Yeah.
And then the way I was looking at it was the one-stop builder's shop. So I was like, if I can hire a step into them, a toilet, a fence, you know, trestles, planks, you know, they're not going to really want to deal with
anyone else.
Four different companies to hire their gear
from. That's it. So you're slowly, you're slowly just working your fucking magic in there. Yeah.
But then that hurts you financially because you're trying to fund the whole thing yourself because say you're buying toilets.
Yeah.
And you buy toilets and then you put them out and hire and then you run out of fencing. So then you've got to buy fencing and then you run out of trestles and planks. So then you've got to keep buying all different gear.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just had, say, just toilets, you know, you're just buying toilets. But then who's to say you'd have the same sort of demographic of builders on or whatever because you wouldn't be able to get them across the line. So, well, that's how that worked.
Yeah, sweet. So you were just basically, so did you end up going, so you've gone down the end of the skip bins and that?
It's purely third party.
Yeah.
So we use four different companies.
Yeah.
And we just cross hire. So they each have their area, what they, you know, they're best at servicing.
So you're just taking.
I take all the bookings, get the skips dropped aside.
Have you ever thought about going to waste management yourself? Going down that path.
I feel like that's like, I was just talking about just then, I was like, I'd dabble into too many beans, I think right now.
I know guys that do it, like I know the guy at Carterway and all these other guys that do it, like, but they always say they make zero money on the skip hire.
It's a transfer.
It's the, they get it, divvy it up, and they make the money on the recycles and all that sort of stuff. That's where the money is.
And then they wouldn't make money on some bins that are too heavy. You know, if they're not charging for overweight bins or whatever, like we don't charge for overweight bins because suppliers we use have transfer centers.
Yeah.
So, but then some bin companies charge for, if your bin comes in heavy, they charge you over $100 or whatever. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, there's big money.
Yeah.
You fucking look at like the big boys.
It's hard turnover.
Busy and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, fuck, man. These guys, you go out to their yards.
Kill it. Oh, they kill
absolutely
it.
Kill it. But it's the same.
Numbers.
Man, it's volume.
Numbers, yeah.
You know, when they're doing the tonnage that they're doing, you know, they can make heaps of money. But hey, it's one of those things. As you said, you got to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. Like, you're not just going to jump yourself from where you are now to fucking, you know, taking over Kennards overnight.
No, and we've got a good relationship with our skip companies too. Like, our skip companies offer toilets, but they don't own the toilets. So then we cross hire our toilets to them, to their builders. So it's a working relationship. So I'm happy with it where that's at, you know, and I'll just keep growing the toilets, fencing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep growing the steps, but I won't own them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, sweet. So, all right. So I've got a few more here now and getting to the end of it. It's been actually really good. Now, I'm just going to touch back on the building industry and then we're going to go back. It's obviously Fortress, right?
Yeah.
Because you've obviously got a lot of experience and I feel like we could run another one of these about obviously the days of, you know, chipping and all that sort of stuff out there. Because that's the vast majority of the guys that do this, that listen in anyway. What have you found the common denominator in regards to, you know, the carpentry industry, the guys that are coming through, you know, the style of work, because you've done the volume game that a lot of guys want to do. And, oh, my God, this is mad. I'm making sick money. What have you found? Like, have you found that it's, you know, it's not cut out what it's, you know, it's not made what it's supposed to be?
There's a lot of people just smacking them up because, and I blame, look, so the builders give you a purchase order. What has the carpenter got to do? He's got to work to that amount of money, hasn't he? So he worked backwards. So he goes, the frame's going to take me 5 days and it's, you know, $3,500 for the frame, a little lowy somewhere. And he's got a few guys on. He's not going to make money out of that, is he? That's why people are smacking him up in a day. You know what I mean? So, like, you get what you pay for, I feel like. And there's guys out there just smacking them up and then builders turn around and wondering why they get rough jobs.
Yeah, my argument with that, man, and I've touched on this like heaps of times in regards to the industry and that whole philosophy of, I feel like it's catch 22. Number one, obviously the builders are what they are. They punch the purchase orders out, right? If a guy's going to accept it, they're going to accept it, right?
Yeah. So it's up to the chippies to stand up.
Up to the chippies to stand up, and it's up to them to say, listen, we're not working for that money anymore. Yeah. But the thing that kills it is the guys that still do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to say, oh, it is what it is. We're going to filter it out and blah, 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 blah.
But I feel like the guys that do it don't know their numbers and what they're actually making. So they think they're killing it.
Exactly.
And then,
exactly. So, and, you know, I don't feel like nothing big is going to come from that until the vast majority of the industry and the carpenters are going to stand up and sort of say, listen, like, nah, that purchase order's fucking rubbish. Yeah. Like, it's, mind you, 2024, I seen a purchase order from, I'm not going to name him, from a builder. Right? The rate that I seen on that, I rang him straight away and I said, is this like a 50% like part like purchase order? He said, no, that's what we get all day. I was like, who the fuck is accepting this? I was like, you got a 45-day end of month claim and you got this? And he's like, no, I get that all day. I was like, good luck to you, mate. I was like, this is like dead set, like 2008, like the prices on this.
And but I feel like I'd be out of touch with the prices now. Yeah. So the rates have obviously gone up.
They should. And like supervisors, managers, builders, et cetera, like, oh, carpenters making killings now. No, they're fucking not, right? No, they're not, because carpenters are getting paid well, right? I know a guy that runs an electrical company and pay my guys more than he pays his electricians, right? Right? But my guys are paid for what they fucking do.
Yeah.
The job's not easy. Yeah. They work hard. They get paid for what they
work. Everyone follows the chippy's work.
That's it. Yeah. Right. And we could sit here and argue, oh, who's better for blah, 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 blah. But that's my whole argument with it. It's like, it's such a broken industry and it's taken. I really think there's going to be a massive shift. Number one, there's all these articles, everything's coming to the crunch about low tradies and that, and it's going to get fucking difficult. And I feel like for the vast majority of builders and stuff that don't come into line with pricing, and don't get me wrong, there's always going to be that fresh 23-year-old that's out there that doesn't know anything about pricing. Him and his mate get in a ute. They see the purchase order and they're like, yeah, no, this is fucking sick.
That was me.
We're making a kill. Yeah, same as me. Yeah. Same. Yeah. Right, same. But this is why I've got a platform to let guys know, hey, listen, like, it's not everything that it's made out to be, and just be very careful when you're going down that path.
Builders are starting. I talk to a lot of builders, obviously, and they are starting to pay. They ask me.
Mm.
I've had so many builders ask me for no chippies, you know, and they're like, we're paying this rate, paying that. And I'm like, I'll come do it for that. You know what I mean?
Rerun the numbers and you're like, oh, fuck, maybe not. Yeah. Like, we get builders now, like, say to us, like, you know, and I deal with probably, I would say, one of the largest multi-residential builders in Southeast Queensland, like their construction team. And we're doing a pretty large development for them next year. And they came to me in regards to like costings and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? They were way out of the ballpark. They said to me, like, where are we at with this? And I was like, listen, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. You're not going to get guys. I said, you will get guys. And I rephrased that to him. I said, don't get me wrong. You will get guys. That's not the issue. Whether or not those guys stay on the project till it's done, see it through, because this same builder has come off another large development where they ran out, right? Yeah. They gassed out. Half the crews left. It was an absolute fucking shit show, right? And I just said to him, I said, listen, you can either take the bet, pushing your numbers up and actually having a good process of vetting guys before you get them, because you want the capacity. You don't want a two-man crew, et cetera, et cetera. And they went through the process. I was obviously on there. But we went through the process and I was there with them. We got the guys in and it was sweet. But this had started like 6 months prior to the actual job even going to contractor.
So they would know. So they would come to you. They know your pricing.
They knew my pricing. And then they said, like, listen, it's not like it wasn't top tier pricing because it was volume.
Yeah.
Right? But I said, listen, if you go up a little bit, and you actually do proper due diligence with the guys and you don't rush it, you'll end up basically coming out of the job good before you even start the fucking job.
Yeah.
All right. And then we've done that and everything signed away, sealed, delivered. And
then you can handle the whole job for them.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like for us, we're taking a relatively large scope of it. Yeah. But that's just because I've done the correct
stuff. That's worth the dollar value to them, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And they know that as well. And these are the things. And it's almost like educating them as well a little bit, because don't get it twisted. These builders, their only thing, our actual part of the work is only this much. They're dealing with fucking investors and all this other bullshit that they've got going on, right? plumbers, electricals, everything. So for us, I always say to them, like, listen, my aspect of the work is only so much. It's only a little bit. So they're not going to know all the finer details that I know. So yeah, it's just in regard, like, just teaching them a little bit. But anyway, what I'm going to do, because Nick's going to fucking yell at me in a minute. I know what he's doing. All right, sweet. So tell me now, quickly, where's Fortress at? What's your plan? What do you got vision for the future? Where do you want to go?
So we're just getting our SIDS truck on the road. We've got a ute running around too. And we service all of our own toilets. Well, not every single one, but the far away ones we don't. But, you know, and the high volume of skip bins, fencing, we just keep growing.
Where do you want to be in like 5 years? You know what I mean? I know that you got it in there. You're like, you can see something, you know what I mean?
I want to move more into the liquid waste side as well, the bigger liquid waste.
Yeah.
That would
So you're solely benefit going, what so we're you're doing going solely double, you're doubling down on this shit. You're not going, you don't envision yourself changing
I'm just going to keep growing it, And people say to me, would you, you know, if someone offered you X amount, would you go? And I say to them, I don't feel like I've taken it to that, you know, that level yet where I'll look back and go, I could have done more.
Yeah.
You know, I could have taken it further.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll just keep growing it and keep going and, you know.
Because soon enough, the big old bad boys will come down and maybe they buy you out for a nice little penny and this guy's fucking living in Bali for the rest of his life. Yeah. Because that's, I've heard of cases like in that industry anyway where they do that, you know.
I've heard a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot.
And some guys build a business just to do that as
That's not on my mind.
That's not on your mind.
Nah.
Yet.
Nah. It's not on my mind.
But if there's enough zeros on the paper... Anything can fucking happen. But yeah, no, 100%.
I want to keep growing it. Like you said before, you want to grow a good culture, good business. And
yeah,
that's what I want to do. Yeah. So.
No, sweet. All right. Well, I've got a bunch of questions here that are a bit of a fire round. So we'll run through these quickly. Now, I know, would you classify yourself entirely off the tools now? Have you thrown the nail bag away? You don't fucking touch it anymore.
Well, I occasionally help my brother. He's a builder, so I help him frame his own houses or...
But that's not your, like, full time.
No, no way. Not at all.
It's collecting dust.
My hammer is rusty.
Fuck. All right. So, but what is your favorite tool or piece of equipment that you either have, used, purchased? What's your favorite?
Got to be a Pazload framer.
Yeah, right, sweet. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Yeah, love the mornings.
Yeah.
Yeah, ice baths, every morning. Gym. Yeah.
I was doing an ice bath. Since I come back from Bali, I just haven't hopped in today. So I break that routine. I was doing it every day for like 6 months, you know. But I didn't feel a benefit from it.
Yeah. You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, each of their own, I guess. All right. What's the best piece of advice that you've ever received? Could be a little comment from someone.
Just don't take advice from people that aren't where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, because that can set you off in a whole different direction entirely. Like people could, you know, put their own opinions onto you because that's what they think in their own head about themselves.
Mm.
And then, like, that just pivots you in a whole different way. Like, you doubt yourself and everything like that. Like, now I don't really listen to anyone, like, outside noise. Like, I just focus on what I want to do and just go for that, you know. So,
That's it. And I feel like you sort of have to do that. To start.
You've got to keep moving forward because if you listen to everyone and
you're going too quickly. Yeah. You run with the risks.
Yeah. I did that.
All this sort of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. All right. What's one habit that keeps you either on track or productive?
The gym. The gym, definitely. I don't feel great after a gym session like everyone says they do.
Yeah. Walk out of there just
no way.
Levitating off the ground. No.
I just know what I feel like when I don't go.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
I actually like that. No, that's actually true. That's the same with me. Like, I don't walk out of the gym like, oh my God, fucking. But I know that if I don't go, like, and I feel like it's sort of now, it's more, as I get more magnitude of like stress and stuff like that, I like to use that word, but as I put more pressure on myself and stuff, and not being on the tools and stuff and all that sort of shit, it almost is something that I need to lean on more to just to keep myself fucking sane.
Same.
Yeah.
Do you shut off when you're in the gym?
Yeah. Like, I try to. Like, obviously, my phone.
With the program that you're on, you wouldn't be able to shut off.
Yeah. Like, with my, like...
Stairmaster.
Yeah. Stairmaster for an hour and a half. But no, like with my phone and that, like I keep it there and that. But like I think what it just gives me, and like I'm very much a routine sort of guy. Like my wife loves to call it that I'm just in autopilot.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain time between like 8:30 and 9 and like 4:30 and 5:30 where I'm just like, the fucking 9/11 could be happening, but I'll still do the same shit, dude. Like,
really?
Yeah, like I lay my stuff out. Like it's a bit of a quirky sort of thing, but because I've been doing it for so long now, it's just like once I do that.
That works for you. You find what works for you.
It can be the littlest thing, like filling up my water bottle at night for the following morning, putting my socks out on the thing, ready for the following morning. It sounds fucking stupid, but it's the most smallest thing.
I'll put my clothes out.
Yeah.
My SD is right next to the kitchen counter. Yeah,
my keys in a certain spot. It's like almost ridiculous when you think about it, but it's like these are little things that I've subconsciously just done now that just makes my morning and everything. It just kickstarts me. And if I don't do that, it can not derail me because I'm not like, oh, fuck. No. But it's just like, it just puts me in a better mindset. Yeah. Like, so when I come in here, and I've got like a high stress environment, or I've got people saying, oh, cash flow's tight, or fucking ATO, like all this sort of stuff, it just enables me. Cause if I didn't have that in place, it would fucking really just.
People don't talk about that enough as cash flow and business.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, so, like, for us, like, you just, like, every week payroll through the fucking roof. Yeah. So, like, it's crunch time all the time. So, like, do you go ups and downs? Yeah. But you learn to weather that fucking storm.
I know guys that just have one trade in the town, and that for me, like, you know, you said like your little quirky things, like that for me does not work. Like I like to have a super account for the employees, annual leave account for employees, end of year bonus for the employees, that little amounts going to every week, and you know, a vehicle mechanic account, you know, so we just like have a tax account, you know.
I used to have, so we've got the same, like we've got all these other accounts, but like my admin loves to look at it because sometimes like when I pay, because I can only pay out of one.
Yeah.
So she'd always say to me like, well, why don't you just like leave? Like it would be like $150, like be like $150 here. And then I transfer the $150 back and then I'd pay it. And she's like, why don't you just leave it in there? Like it's just showing. And I'm just like, but it's more of like a mindset thing for me to see it. So like, 100%. Like that's something that I have in place as well. And it's good. Pay your fucking taxes and pay your fucking super. If any of you guys are listening, do it. All right. Don't be dogs about it. All right. If you weren't running Fortress Hire, what would you be doing?
It'd be chipping or building, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. He'd still be out at Springfield with his shirt off, definitely. Smacking up roofs.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Getting getting a pie in the morning, ice break, and then smoke and shit comes around at 8 o'clock. That again, spend like $70 a day.
Through the fucking roof.
Little taps, though.
I am so out of touch. Like, I literally said to my wife the other day, because we eat at home and stuff, like, we cook at home all the time and that. I'm so out of touch with, like, how much things cost. The other day, the weekend before that, we went out for lunch for her grandpa's birthday. We went to the fucking pub. We ordered, just me and her, just two meals. No, nothing else. No drinks, nothing. It's like $62. I looked at her and I was like, am I fucking, what the fuck? I was like, that $62. And then like my auntie was like,
Pull your tight ass.
Oh yeah. I'm like, you don't know. It's like, fuck. Like we grabbed like a $300 grocery bill. And I'm like, look at this, babe. I'm like, fucking one meal, $62.
I seen a smoko chick on site the other day and she wanted to charge me like $7 for a Masashi the yellow. Oh. Did you drink? I said, oh, can you give it to me $5? And she goes, yeah. I was like, sweet.
Oh, man. But, hey, anyway, man, I reckon this has been, for you guys that are listening, I've really enjoyed this episode. I reckon this one's probably been up there with one of the best ones that we've recorded. We've talked about heaps of stuff. Yeah. Business, bit of chipping.
It's just been scattered.
Yeah, but that's good. That's some of the best ones. Like, these are the ones that really go off. So, hey, for you guys that are listening, I hope you really enjoyed it. Thank you again for coming on, man. Thanks, I feel like we could fucking rerun this back again in a few years or even next year and we'll see again where we're at. And man, appreciate it. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode as this will be one that you don't want to miss.